The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Tuesday, August 22, 2023. The President of Cuba, Miguel Díaz-Canel, will arrive in South Africa today to participate in the 15th BRICS Summit to be held in Johannesburg until the 24th in his capacity as current President of the G77 and China. The official speech of the Cuban president will take place, according to the program, on the 24th at the BRICS Plus Dialogue, which, together with BRICS Africa Outreach, includes nations from the Global South and the African continent. During his stay in South Africa, Díaz-Canel will be accompanied by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Cuba, Bruno Rodríguez Parrilla, the Minister of Public Health, José Ángel Portal Miranda, and the First Deputy Minister of Foreign Trade, Ana Teresita González Fraga, among others. Subsequently, as announced by the Cuban Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the President will make official visits to the Republic of Mozambique and Namibia. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel, through his official Twitter account, congratulated Bernardo Arevalo, winner of the second round of the presidential elections in Guatemala. On the social network, the president cordially congratulated on behalf of the government and people of Cuba, Bernardo Arevalo, on his election as president of Guatemala. He also conveyed the willingness to continue developing bilateral relations between both countries. The sociologist by profession, academic and deputy to the Congress, proposed as a transversal axis of his government plan the fight against corruption and impunity affecting that nation. Arevalo will assume the highest office of the Central American country on January 14, 2024. The book, The Embrace of Two Brotherly Peoples, Chile and Cuba, which deals with the mutual ties since the Wars of Independence, will be presented in the city of La Serena, informed its author, Luis Aguilera. In declarations to Prensa Latina, he reminded that many Chileans participated in the struggles for the emancipation of the Caribbean country from Spanish colonialism and mentioned among them the brigadier generals of the Mambí Army, Pedro Vargas Sotomayor and Carlos Duble Alquizar. It is also known that when Carlos Manuel de Céspedes gave freedom to the slaves and took up arms, the first flag he made was inspired by the Chilean flag. Aguilera affirmed that this country was one of those that contributed the most money to Cuba's independence through the help of shoemakers, tailors, builders, railroad workers, and other laborers. The respect, appreciation, and affection between Chileans and Cubans always called my attention, so I began to investigate, and that allowed me to confirm that the bonds are very old, expressed the author. The 320-page text was published by Loam Publishing House and will be presented on August 31 at the Municipal Theater of La Serena, a city located in the Norte Chico region of Chile. With the purpose of bringing together all the artists who in those first years of the revolution sought a social transformation, the Union of Artists and Writers of Cuba, UNIAC, raised its voice to dignify creation in a space that would place it in the vortex of the radical processes of that time. This is how the president of the organization, Luis Morlote, wrote this August 22 in a congratulatory letter to all members. The head of UNIAC recalled in his letter the final words of the historic meeting that summer, where the leader of the revolution, Fidel Castro, appreciated the firm, deep, spontaneous, and sincere union between writers and artists, which may be called, instead of organization, union. According to Morlote, Fidel attributed the resignation of patience, selfishness, personal interest, and ambitions to the spirit of commitment to the revolutionary cause and to the awareness of the value of each one's task. He also referred to the fact that on this 62nd anniversary, Fidel's assessment becomes fully valid. The president of UNIAC also wrote about the encouraging thought and legacy of the national poet of Cuba, Nicolas Guillén, and those who created this artistic mass at that time. The Cuban musician Sima Funk added a new success to his career with his concert in Tokyo as part of the Funktastic Tour 2023, Fire and Funky in Japan, the musician wrote on his official Facebook account, accompanying a video where the public in Japan is seen dancing to the contagious rhythm of the performances of the Cuban and his band. According to the tour program, the artist's next performances will be on August 25 in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, on September 7 in Park City, Utah, United States, and on the September 15, Jacksonville Beach, Florida, also in the United States. In recent months, Funktastic has taken Sima Funk to important venues in Canada, Italy, France, Belgium, Germany, Spain, and Portugal, among others. The specialized magazine Rolling Stone described the Cuban show among the most exciting of 2022 due to the magnetism and energy it transmits on stage. And in the international agenda, we have that the Minister of Economy and Public Finance, Marcelo Montenegro, assured that today Bolivia will pay its quota of $188 million to the investors of the so-called Bond 23, with which it will comply with the risk rating agencies. In relation to the U.S. companies that gave the country a negative rating, Montenegro stated that they thought they were not going to pay a couple of months ago, and tomorrow they will comply. During the interview granted to Radio Panamericana, Montenegro also guaranteed the importation and supply of fuels to the domestic market and maintained that at this time the liquidity of the national financial system is greater, explaining the economic context Bolivia is going through and the measures applied by the national government to consolidate industrialization with import substitution. Montenegro said that structural solutions are being worked on. The headline added that the plurinational state will export some 2,000 tons of lithium carbonate during the current year, which will represent an income of between $80 and $90 million. Meanwhile, the Blue Ocean Strategy will revolutionize Jamaica's tourism industry in ways that will differentiate the island with its regional competitors, Jamaica's Tourism Minister Edmund Bartlett said. This project, developed by Professors Sean Kim and Rene Mauborgne, suggests that companies can achieve success by identifying and capturing untapped market spaces called Blue Oceans. In Blue Oceans, competition is low or non-existent, which will allow companies to create and capture new demand by focusing on innovation rather than competing in saturated market spaces. According to Bartlett, the implementation of the strategy will stimulate economic growth by attracting new investment, increasing visitor spending, and creating employment opportunities in various sectors, which will facilitate long-term profitability. Jamaica will attract tourists seeking novel experiences and position itself as a premier destination for sustainable tourism by creating unique and customized offerings, promoting cultural heritage and community involvement, Bartlett noted. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.